You know me by now. The game plan, we're going to speak for about 40 minutes. The alarm has already been set. Don't worry. Okay, we won't go overboard. I have to apologize in advance. I've learned, since we spoke last, I've learned something else, which is that I'm bound to offend somebody. Okay? So I gave a shiur, and I needed to come up. I wanted to give like a funny synopsis about how you think you're great and wonderful, and you can set up a thing sometimes if you're looking for jobs. It will send you an email. Oh, there's a job that might be up your alley, might be something you're interested in. So one day I got an email. It says, you know, Burger King is hiring in your neighborhood. So this wasn't really very high in the ego. This wasn't going to do a lot for your, you know, machismo when you find a Burger King. So I start telling this whole class, figuring no one's going to be, I mean, speaking to a bunch of frum women, no one worked at Burger King. Sure enough, a woman comes up to me after, she says, you know, I used to work at Burger King. It's like, oh, great, you know. So I thought like I was really in the clear with that one. But anyway, so when you get offended, you'll just raise your hand and I'll know that I've offended you, and then we'll move on. Okay? A lot has also transpired besides the election. Baruch Hashem, a new member to the Jet family, Yosef Chaim Vitters, my wife, gave birth to a baby boy. You could tell he's a Jet guy because his weight was 6 pounds, 13 ounces. Let's hear it for 6'13". Okay. So, as you know, I'm working hard on teaching his first word, which should be mama, right? So then in the middle of the night, he says, mama. I said, oh, I can tell him if he's looking for you. You know, I'd love to help, but he's looking for you. So it's interesting. It was interesting. You know, I imagine a guy comes to me, so he says, it's wonderful. He's telling me, he says, the baby keeping up at night? I felt like saying, like, come on. You know, it's got like 10 billion things to be happy about. Imagine I walk into this house, and what a beautiful home, and you have the stone over here, and you have the marble, and you have two floors. And I said, what a beautiful home. Your home insurance premium must be wacko, right? I wouldn't say such a thing. So you have focus on positivity. I have a new baby boy, Baruch Hashem, healthy and happy. So we should see a lot of nachas from Yosef Chaim. I am not going to talk about politics. Everyone said, every Rav this past Shabbos said, I'm not going to talk about politics, but. So I'm not going to talk about politics and no buts. That's it. I'm not going to talk about it at all. I'm very excited about this lecture because we've spoke to a lot of things over the years. We spoke about political correctness. We spoke in Israel. We spoke about a lot of different things. But tonight, we get to speak about something which I know really well, which is me. The ego and the I. So finally, Baruch Hashem, we hit a topic which is right up my strike zone. And like they say in life, timing is everything. Tonight is the 15th of Mar Cheshvan. 15th of Mar Cheshvan, which means that 1 month ago we were entering into the Sukkah. Right? So we triumphantly marched with all the joyousness and enthusiasm from Yom Kippur and into the Sukkah. And we were pious Jews and full of action and full of all the activities associated with the buying and the sukkahs and the lulav and everything else like that. Now, in halacha, 30 days is a big deal. A person's ability to remember, ability to forget, a window of time in halacha that they associate this is 30 days. Things go by for 30 days. It comes up in terms of davening, what a person remembered, didn't say. So the goal here tonight is what we may have forgotten, and we may have cooled off from those moments when we walked into the sukkah. We're going to rekindle. That's what we want to do tonight. We want to regain the Sukkot perspective. Okay? And tonight's lecture, like we said, is I, the psychology of ego enhancement. For myself, once I got the flyer, I just like looked at the flyer, my ego was enhanced right away. I looked at the flyer again, and I looked at the flyer again. So ego, when it comes to ego, there's a lot of it out there in the world. Right? Especially, Jason, especially amongst lawyers. I was sitting adjacent to an attorney, and he spoke for at least 15 minutes at what he felt was the best steak in Nassau County. And it was going on, this steak and that pepper steak and this tenderloin. I felt like saying, like, come on already, right? It comes to ego. I remember I once was put up by a law firm in the Waldorf Astoria. So I really wanted to fit in. Like, I'm going to the Waldorf Astoria. And so I go, I'm practicing. What am I going to tell the cabbie? The Astoria, like, I don't think anyone calls it the Astoria, like the Waldorf, the Waldorf. I'm practicing because I want to be a Kanaker. The Waldorf. So I get in the cab. He says, where to? I say, the Waldorf. Astoria. Like there's another one. Anyway, that's what we're here to do. The concept of what I think about life, the Chovos Levavos, the duties of heart, says the following. It says that your days are scrolls. Every day you have is a Megillah. And you write things on. You get lessons from life. We have to be observant Jews, not just observance. Observe life. I'll tell you something interesting that happened. I know anyone use Google Calendar? Anyone use Google Calendar? I use Google Calendar. You use Google Calendar now? Yeah? So you plug in, okay, Jep lecture, 7:30 night. Now what happened was the following was that for some reason my wife logged onto my computer, and now I'm uploading things into my Google Calendar. Okay? And my wife says, you know, call Jason Kessler. Who's Jason Kessler? Who's invading my Google Calendar? Now, sure enough, I was uploading all these events into my life, but it's now appearing on my wife's Google Calendar. Right? Now, I thought this was like, you know, all day long, Hashem is downloading things onto my Google Calendar, and I don't know what, right? Kid is home from school, sick, need extra carpool help. You know, this, right? Hashem is constantly wiring our lives and bringing us to all the different difficulties and challenges and people that push our buttons, and he's doing it, Kaseder, one day after the other, and we have to embrace it. Part of life, we'll see tonight, is you want to grow, you got to embrace where you're at, and move forward from there. Okay, so far so good. Now, the single most important acquisition a person can acquire is knowing who a person is and where they are and who they're not. I'll give you an example. There are certain cars you get into nowadays, right? So you turn your tune on the car. It says, right tire needs air. Right? Oil check in 42 miles, whatever it happens to be. So we have diagnostics of ourselves. We wake up in the morning, need coffee. Urgent. Right? You are exhausted. You're tired. You're hungry. You're constantly getting messages about myself. Now, as long as my orientation to the world is myself, that's it. There's no room for anyone else. If I have a headache, so that's it. There's nothing to talk about. I had a lousy night's sleep. There's nothing to talk about. Traffic on the Tappan Zee. Everyone's looking busy watching the bridge being built. But like, I am tired, stuffy, right? So that's it. I can't get past anything else. You walk into a shul sometimes, there's no air conditioning. Like, forget about it. Well, okay, so much for that idea. I was going to sit down and learn something, but it's just too hot. So, because I cannot get past myself. Now, person wants to grow. Let's have sheets. Did I give out all my sheets? I didn't have an extra sheet. I think I gave away all my sheets. Can I have this sheet?
Of course.
Thank you very much. Okay, take a look with me at the sheet for the Orach HaTzaddikim. Number one, Orach HaTzaddikim. You're familiar with Orach HaTzaddikim? Any student of Rabbi Zaitchik, I'm sure, is familiar with Orach HaTzaddikim. The ways of the righteous. 27 or 28 ways to become a perfect person. Yesh kamenei odom. There are many people. Asher tavosim litvois derech hatoiv. They want to go in the right direction. Right? Look at all of them here on a Tuesday night. Jep, want to go in the right direction. Ve'einem yoidim matoiv lehem. They don't know what's good for them. Ve'choishim b'chol yoim. They're thinking every day lahasig amayla yoinu ve'einem asig kol yoim. They're all day long, they're looking to improve themselves. That sounds like a pretty good lot of people. Ve'ze inyin machma shnei dvorim. This is because of two reasons. Now, why would a person who wants to improve not get there? And number one reason, echad she'enu makir chesreina, he does not recognize his lacks. Ve'enu mavchin bedrochav hamagunim. He doesn't understand his ways that are imperfect or that need fixing up. V'udoyim el Ruvain. He is like Ruvain, a mechape Shimon. He's looking all after Shimon, ve'enu makiro. He doesn't recognize him. Afili yichapi shorso kol yoyim. Even he looks all day long. Yo lo yimtzeeyo. He's not going to find him. He come upon him. A lot of times, yavo etzlo is going to come by him. Velo yakir. He won't recognize him. Like you're supposed to pick up somebody at the train station. But you know what they look like. So you walk past them 62 times. Oh, that's you? Oh, I got it. Because he's the last person standing at the track, right? Kain odem azeh. So too this person. Avol bishu choshev tamid. He always thinking, ma yase. What can I do? Mechabiz ma'ase toy. Then do something good. Lo yosik. He's not going to get there. Kevin she'enu makeh chesreino. A person does not realize where they are imperfect. Now, why don't people realize where they're imperfect?
They think they're perfect.
Perfect! Because my ego doesn't want to acknowledge that I am imperfect. Right? Once a guy gave a drusha, and the whole purpose, there's one person in the audience who was there, in the congregation who was there, who was a very argumentative person. So the whole drusha was all about the dangerousness of being involved in machloikis and how to get out of it. And afterwards, this person comes up and he says, you know, Rabbi, I have a question for you. He's finally excited. He hit the mark. He hit the bullseye. The guy was looking for. He says, you know, what was that source you gave? He says, I know a guy who really needs to hear this lecture. The whole thing was geared up for him. The whole thing was geared up for this person. The Ali Shur, I did a photocopy of the Ali Shur for you. I think I photocopied the Ali Shur for you on the back. Number 6. Mishazoch, I put a little arrow there on the bottom. The Ali Shur is a beautiful sefer, written by Rav Volba, who was one of the Musar masters of the last generation. Nifter maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. Me, by the arrow. Mishazoch la'akar satzmo, a person who merits to recognize themselves, to know themselves. Muchrach, it will be al yada lavo lide avoida puria valide shinuyim mamikim. That person will be able to have changes, make have growth, have fruits. Banhogas in his conduct umidois, and that's where he starts. He basically starts at the whole concept of musar, of self improvement, needs a framework. Where am I? Who am I? And once a person embraces where that is, they can grow from there. What makes me tick? Now, I have a bachur I speak to on a regular basis involved in dating. I just had a guy I spoke to a few minutes ago. He said, can I take off a few weeks? Let's take off a few weeks from dating. So I say, sure, if it has a purpose. If you're going to date yourself in those 3 weeks and find out what you bring to the table and what you don't bring to the table and what you need to improve and what's, if you're just going to, you know, hang out and watch the Knicks, then I don't know if you, right? Good. We want to be growing, self-assessment. Where am I holding? Now, why don't we do it? Because it's very frightening. It's very frightening to see what I'm going to find there. Don't be frightened. Learn to know your strengths. See where I can grow. One of the 48 ways of acquiring Torah, makir es mekoimo. Recognize my place. I could improve in my davening. I could improve in my chesed, my love of other people. I can improve in my emuna, in my belief in Hashem. I can improve in my happiness. I could complain less, right? It's funny, when you see people describe themselves, I get a lot of these reference sheets from different young men, young women dating, and it's interesting the way people describe themselves, and I would not have described them that way at all. Mm-hmm. Right? We're just completely different vocabulary. But once you discover where you're at, and you're okay with it, and you're ready to improve, then the sky's the limit. I pulled up at a parking lot the other day, and I'm trying to get, like, you know, when you pull up in the parking lot, you're like, I'm never going to remember that I parked here. And you're looking for a number or thing. And a guy says, guy comes up, he's wearing like one of those parking vest jackets. He says, I'm Mr. P. And this is my house. Now he's a parking attendant, right? He's a parking attendant. I don't think he graduated high school, but he's Mr. P. And this is my house. Now he has so much pride. Talk about ego enhancement, right? Now he doesn't think he's the president of the United States. He may not want to be the president of the United States, but he doesn't think he's playing center for the Knicks. He's a parking attendant, but I'm Mr. P. And this is my house. It was a sense of, not ego, but a sense of, I'm home. I'm comfortable with who I am. And I'm going to exude that. The world is composed of two different types of people. Once you discover who you are, those who are complacent, and those who are growing. And that's basically comes down to life. In JEP classes, people who are growing attend JEP classes. People who are complacent have a lot of things that will remind them of how good they are doing and how the concept of growth is not really necessary for me. I've arrived. I'm better than the guy next door, and therefore, you can get off my phone. Now, life is a process of knowing yourself and how I interact with other people. Okay? So now, when you're born, there is no one else in the world. It's just me. And I'm tired or hungry or wet or cranky. And that's it. Now, most of us will never get past that. Like, I love what sometimes our kids start like falling apart. And like my wife will say, oh, you know, they're really tired. They didn't get a nap today. It's like, I see people in court who are really tired because they didn't get their nap today. Like they're just cranky. You know, they missed their meal. They didn't miss the nap. When you're raising a kid, the concept of chinuch, that's okay. You try and teach a kid that there's something called a parent that is worthy of being respected. Bar mitzvah, who do you recognize beyond yourself? Hashem. There is a God in the world who wants to have a relationship with you, who expects things from you, has high hopes for you. Person gets married. So what's the avodah of being married? To realize there is somebody else in the world besides me, i.e. my spouse. There was a there's a printing company, one of the printing companies, has their motto: "We are completely dedicated to your success." Now that's a spouse. Maybe it's a printing company, but it's a spouse. Can a person say, "I'm completely dedicated to your success"? That's a person who's achieved a degree of selflessness. There's an achdus. There's a bonding. When I go to a wedding, people are excited. The candles and the chuppah. People really ask me what's going on. They know not to ask me already. But if I say, this should be in the Wall Street Journal tomorrow. Forget all the romance. There's a corporate merging. There's a merging of company A and company B, and they're becoming an entity. A oneness. There's a bonding. Now, I find a way to offend most people. So let's start with the men. Start with the men on the men's side of the ledger. Rav Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said what? A person, a husband's making olam haba will depend mostly on how he treated his wife. It's interesting. Most of the women want the men to read their... But so now, that's pause for thinking. Making olam haba will depend mostly on how he treated his wife. Well, what about all the minyanim I went to? Right? And what about the tzedakah I gave? There's an avoda going on right in a person's house of becoming a mensch. On the women's side, anyone heard of Rebbetzin Kanievsky? Rebbetzin Kanievsky was Nifteris probably 2, maybe 3 years ago now. She probably had the largest following of any Jew in the world. Kalas in mass, religious, not religious, would flock to her home in Bnei Brak. She says the following: the words a wife uses to praise her husband, I remind my wife of this often, are the most precious words she will say in her life. One more time. Words a wife uses to praise her husband are the most precious words she will say in her life. There is never a situation where one spouse gives another too much praise. Amazing. Imagine such a world like that. Imagine just a world like that. The famous story we all know, when Rav Aryeh Levin brought his wife to the doctor and he said, "What's bothering you?" He says, "Our ankle hurts." An achdus, a unity. Not, "Well, you know, I got to take this. This is a responsibility and this is a financial." It's an achdus. It's a unity. It's a oneness. Dessler used to say, he used to tell, and he used to teach young couples that were getting married, you say, the day you start taking is the day your happiness is going to end. As long as you're giving, as long as you're investing into the corporate entity of the marriage, into the other person, you're accomplishing what marriage is supposed to accomplish. Children. Adam and Chava become basar echad, become one flesh. What does Rashi say? Not that they got married. They had a child. Because now, again, a person's getting further and further away from myself. I would like to sleep. My kid needs a bottle. Right? I would like to read something on my wavelength. I don't want to read about Winnie the Pooh anymore. Right? My father-in-law says, you're only as happy as your least happy child. Because why? Because that's where I'm at. I'm having a good day. Things are going my way. But if you know there's a kid who's struggling with whatever happens to be, it could be something which you think is silly. They don't have the right backpack. And what are people going to say? It doesn't make a difference. That's where they're in that sorrow. They're dealing with that difficulty. So I'm there with them. I'm getting beyond me. The Rambam says that you want to sit in the Sanhedrin, you had to be a father. He brings it in halacha. You want to sit in Sanhedrin in cases that judge capital cases and death penalty cases because you can be merciful. But a person, you never met a person who wasn't a father, wasn't merciful? Is that right? So if a person is willing to get past this, right? The kid just knocked over his chocolate milk all over your file or whatever it happened to be. And so, you know, he said, "Why do you do that?" Or "Be more careful," or whatever it happens to be. And then he comes up to you and he has a little picture and it's like the sun and there's a father. It's a little stick figure, you know, orange and green. He says, "Daddy, this is for you." You say, "Oh, my boy." You put it right up on the fridge, right? Forget the chocolate milk. Forget the file. Right? Because I'm getting past myself. Life is a career of taking my ego and dismantling it such that I can bring other people into my life. Rav Zimmerman, who's a rebbe of mine, was once at a bris, and I asked him, I said, how can you care for so many people? This person calls, and that person calls, and this question, and that question, halacha question, and education questions, and marriage questions, and career questions. I said, how can you care about so many people? And he said, what? He said, I just keep redefining me. First it was just me, and then it was my wife and me, and it was my family and me, and it was my congregation and me, and then it was Muncie and me, and then it was Am Yisrael. So it's all just me. I'm investing me in other people. And we see this. We see this in politics, right? A person's with the elephants or with the donkeys, right? They have an R next to their name or a D. And like, that's who they are. That's where they're at. That's my identity. Football, you ever seen like some, you know, old accountants like, ah, we had a rough game last night. Like, he was out there against the Redskins. You know, like, he was watching the game. Oh, the referee was really up against us. Like, what are you talking about? But there's an identity. It was interesting. I had a rabbi of mine, a colleague in Chicago. So he said, look, everyone's going bonkers for the Cubs. This is before they won. He said, we're giving a shiur. I want to give a lecture on the magnetism of sports and what is going on there and why we're so... And so one of the things people spoke about is there's a way of transcending myself, right? So you have a plumber and he's next to a cardiologist and they're hugging and they're, yay, you know, touchdown, right? So they have nothing else to talk about but go Giants. But it's an achdus. I can get past myself. And people like that. So that's the ultimate measure of a mensch. How I may get past myself. And there's an amazing insight to this from Rav Dessler, which you'll find on the first page in the lower right-hand column. He says the following. He has a famous principle, which is that the world consists of givers and takers. This is say for Michta Meliyahu. And everything that's right in the world stems from the impulse of giving. And everything that's wrong in the world stems ultimately from the impulse of taking. So he goes on to say, I don't know if I'll do it inside per se, but he says that when I give to somebody else, I'm investing me in that person. And I love me. Except for Seinfeld. Seinfeld hated himself. But besides Seinfeld, I love me. And therefore, when I'm invested in somebody else, so there's, we call it Mesiris Nefesh. I gave over myself. I gave over myself. You have a person who the teacher loved the most sometimes. That kid who struggled, and they were failing, and they eked out a 76, but they worked with that kid. And they invested with that kid. Not the genius who, you know, got a chick-chock. They talk about something called sweat equity. What's sweat equity? What I put into the business, what I build in the business, people call things a labor of love. It's a project, it's a labor of love. You're getting paid for it? I'm not in for the money. It's a labor of love. I'm invested in it. And we see this as the hallmark of a Jew, of all parshas, this week's parsha. Avram Avinu. How did he know? He's the first Jew ever. How did he know that this is the way to do it? Open up your tent, four doors, anyone comes in. Like, why would I build Yiddishkeit on that? Maybe it should have been prayer. Maybe you should have prayed 24 hours a day. Right? Or maybe you should have had a kumsitz or the Maccabee games or a falafel. Like, why was this it? How did this become the hallmark of the Jew? So you know what he understood? The way it was explained to me was like this. Avinu wanted to emulate God. I want to be godly. What is God doing all day? He's serving us, if I could be so cavalier to say so. His sun is serving us. And his supermoon is serving us. And his flowers and his foliage and his rain, a lot of rain today, and his wind, it's here to serve all of us. So Avinu wanted, he realized... You want to know how great you are? How many people are you serving? How many people at a wedding, sometimes they give like the maitre d', he brings out like the ribs or something with that green jelly. Like that's like the most chashuv thing you ever know. See, how many people am I serving? That was his measure of godless. They used to have, who was Senator Pothole? Al D'Amato, right? Al D'Amato. Senator Pothole. Now what? Why is that such a lofty title, Senator Pothole? Doesn't sound very nice to me. He said that what? There's nothing beneath me. There's a guy with a pothole in Stuyvesant or whatever. So that's my pothole. That's my constituent. That's part of who I am. I've redefined myself. That pothole matters. I'm Senator Pothole. That's a big deal. Rav Noach Weinberg, who was the head of Eish HaTorah, one of the biggest kiruv movers and shakers, he said, if you become a giver, it's the only way to understand who Hashem is and what life is all about. And if you want to appreciate Hashem, then undertake to be like Him and take care of as many people as you can. That's the avoda. You get past yourself. I'm Ravino. Who's he davening for? We got a whole li in the, if I find 50 tzaddikim, 40, 30, 20, who's he praying for? Like ISIS. Like who are these guys? Saddam is like the total antithesis of who he is and what he's all about. They're takers and they're selfless and they're selfish and they're immoral. But they're human. And I love humanity. And I want you to love humanity. And that's why when a person's able to get past themselves, you can perceive what other people need. I got such a shot in the arm. This is Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah. I brought my matel, my little four-year-old, down to the hakafas. We're dancing. Now, every kid at Simchas Torah, the highlight is what? Moshe Emes. Moshe Emes, you take the kid and you throw the kid up in the sky, and for some reason they love it, and all the guys afterwards, their backs are hurting that they threw the kid up in there. But anyway, Moshe Emes, like the highlight of the hakafas. So one of the hakafas, the gabbai gave me a Sefer Torah. Gave me a Sefer Torah, Gevaldik. So I'm going to dance with the Sefer Torah. Now everyone's happy that I get the Sefer Torah, except for who? Little Muttel. Little Muttel's got nowhere to throw him. Now, I'm not that reckless that I'm going to throw my kid while I'm holding the Sefer Torah. And a young man, single guy, says, do you think your son would be okay if I would throw him for Moshe Emes? I was so impressed. I called his mother straight away. We got to find a great shidduch for this kid. I can't get over how this, now he's got a lot of simple story. Your feet hurt already a bit. You want to sit down. You get a little schnapps. You want to learn a little bit on the side. And he's sizing up a situation. And he's saying, this kid, I guess I must have looked like in over my head, but he hopped that I could use this assistance. And he stepped right in. He offered it. Now, if he's thinking about himself, that's not happening. That's not happening. I saw a story today. There was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael who went to visit someone in prison. A Rav with the whole lavush and the whole look and the whole everything, like the tall man. And he went to visit someone in the prison. The person was able to get out of prison for a couple hours. And he said that the one thing is, and he left him with the Rav was going to be the one to watch him for these couple hours before he would go back to the prison. The one thing is that the guy, the prisoner, only had prison clothes. And you have to go out in civvies. You have to go out in civilian. So the Rav said, no problem, I'll give him my pants. There's a picture. You'll see the picture. The picture of the Rav, and the Rav is walking around with his big bekisha, right? And there's this other guy, who's a short fellow, and he's got the Rav's pants on. Like, who's giving away his pants for another Jew? Unbelievable. There was a Maisa, incredible Maisa, fellow, lost his wife, and had a young son to raise, and there was a Rebbe who took this man under his wing, and his son under his wing, and always looked after him, and finally Baruch Hashem, this boy grows up, and he's making a chasana. Boy's getting married off, this single father's youngest son. So the Rebbe says, look, I can't be by the chasana, but you gotta come by after the wedding to make a lechayim. You gotta come by, we'll have a lechayim. So the chasana goes 12:30. He's thinking, I was supposed to go to the Rebbe, but it's so late. He goes home, it's 1:15. Phone rings, it's the Rebbe. He said, what happened to our lechayim? He said, well, it got so late, I didn't think I was able to, I didn't want to matriarch, I didn't want to bother you. So he said, well, tell me, what was the chasana like? Who showed up, and who was the Masada Kedushin, who was in charge of everything, and what was the band like, and what was the dancing Labadik, and did this person show up, and was your son? He's going on and on. Nothing halig, nothing holy. Chit-chat, we'd say. Kibitzing. So Rebitzin comes in, it's 1:45 in the morning. He waves her off, no problem. The Gabbai comes in 2:00 in the morning. And he said, chit-chat, what gifts they got, and where Sheva Bracha is going to be held. Finally, he gets off the phone, 2 o'clock in the morning, and the gabbai and the wife are both sitting there like, Rebbe, you know, 45 minutes, chit-chat. What's the pshat? What happened over here? He said, after a simcha, after a big event, you want to go home, and you want to relive it, and you want to talk it over, and wasn't it so nice this person showed up, and that person showed up, and I hadn't seen them in so long? And he didn't want this person going home to an empty home. Because he knew that his wife was no longer living. And he knew that he was marrying off his youngest child. So he didn't want to go home to a house alone. Now I'm sure this Rebbe had a lot of good things to do. He could learn Torah. He could get a good night's rest. He got a busy day the next day. There was nothing more important. There was not a single greater investment of his time than chit-chat about the smorgasbord with this fellow so that he should not feel alone. This is a person who's got beyond himself. The episodes in the Torah of Chesed, this week's parsha with Avraham Avinu and the three Arabs, angels that come, and Rivka, we'll have in a few weeks at the well with Eliezer. It makes no sense at all. You think about the effort that these people are going to. They have 1,001 excuses not to do it. I'm 99 years old. I just had a bris. It's blazing hot. I don't even know you. Right? Feed my camels. Go feed your own camels. Right? This is chesed, which is being done without cheshbon, without thinking what's in it for me. Are we there? No. At least I'm not. Will I get there? Probably not. Is it the gold standard of what a Jew should be? Absolutely. Absolutely. If a person wants to grow, we have to leave the comfort zone. That's where we're at. We're at the precipice. We're at the continental divide. This is where I'm at. This is who I am. This is the factors I have in my life. My upbringing, my knowledge, my parnasa, my neighborhood. This is it. Some of us were born children's Rosh Hashivas, probably not many. Some of us didn't figure out what Judaism meant more than pickles until we were 45. Oh, coming down the stretch. Okay. That's Lech Lecha. Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, you want to grow, you're going to become a great nation, you accomplish your destiny. It's not going to be done here. You got to leave that comfort zone. You got to leave the nest. And you rededicate yourself to all your core relationships, to yourself, to Hashem, to your spouse, to your kids, to your community. There was an unbelievable story that happened. A person whom I know, not very well, unfortunately. He discovered Judaism at age 60. And associated with something pertaining to September 11th. And gradually, this person who was involved in advertising, not just advertising, marketing on a world scale basis, Manhattan marketer. And there was a Kiruv group that wanted to invite him in to... He could assess their programming, give them some marketing ideas. And when he's meeting with this person, September 11th, he said, you know what, rather than meeting downtown, let's meet at my office midtown. And what a stroke of divine providence. This man started learning little by little by little. He moved to Muncie. He associated with Yeshiva. Little by little, he loved people. He loved Jews. He loved learning. He passed away, Leil Simchas Torah, the age of 76, I think. He had spent the night dancing with a Sefer Torah. I don't know all the medicine behind exactly the health issue that played itself out that night. But my Rosh Yeshiva was saying, can you imagine what a holy neshama that Hashem took him back having danced with a Sefer Torah? He said he never heard of such a thing. The Vilna Gaon didn't leave the world that way. This person didn't know, he knew virtually nothing at age 60. And look at how close he became with the world. A world beyond him. A world beyond his comfort zone. And Hashem loved that neshama and brought it back with a misa nesika, like a kiss. We used to say, we're all familiar, anyone ever read Hamlet, right? To their own self be true. Right? To their own self be true. If you know who you are and you know where you are, you can grow from there. We're 30 days from Sukkot. We're 45 days into the new world, the new year, Hashem launched Tav Shin Ayin Zion. Where am I? Is it same old, same old? I look at my Kabbalahs, I look at the things, what happened? What happened to all the things I was going to take on? I went through Yom Kippur. I danced with Sefer Torah. So now what? Where am I going? What frontier am I conquering? What midah, what character trait am I refining? Am I improving? Or it's just inertia, another year this way. And I'll just, you wake me up for show for next year. You wake me up for show for next year. I did my growth. Don't lose the momentum. Don't lose the momentum. My Rav spoke by Ni'ila. By Ni'ila he spoke broken. And he said that there was a woman, there was a Talmud, a student in his yeshiva, that had been killed in a car accident. And the mother was in South America. He spoke to Menachem Oval, the mother. And he said to us, he said, a mother, a spouse who's lost a spouse is called an almana. Widow. A child who's lost a parent is called the yesoima, an orphan. He says, what do you call this woman? A maimon. She's a believer. She was able to take what Hashem sent her way in ways that we can't understand, nor would we have any concept as to where to begin. And she said, this is where Hashem wants me to serve him right now. Amazing. A person who's in it for themselves would never make such a statement. They're living beyond themselves. We're used to thinking that on Rosh Hashanah there's two books, Sefer Chaim and the opposite, the Book of Life, right? But I don't think that's true. I think there's a lot of books. And I think we're given the pen on Rosh Hashanah and we write our names in the book of Shomer Shabbos, I'm in that book. Shalom Bayis, I'm in that book. Not speaking Lashon Hara, I'm in that book. Giving more tzedakah, I'm in that book. More chesed, I'm in that book. We're given all the books. And you're given the pen. And you sign up. And you put your name there. What books do we put ourselves in? What do we hold ourselves up to that we could achieve? No one's got to know about it. Bill Bradley, you know, the senator, he used to love the pass that made the pass that made the basket. Because the basket's in the paper. And the pass is in the paper. But not the pass that made the... No one's got to know about it. It could be Ashrei. It could be a misfollow for another yid who knows going through a difficult situation. I'm working on my mouth. I'm not speaking profound. There's a thousand with sneers, learning, davening, tehillim. There was a father, and he had a son, and he loved this son. And little by little, he saw the son was cooling off in his Yiddishkeit, his observance, his learning. And one day, saw the kid was sleeping through, didn't put on tefillin. Didn't bother with the tzitzis. School attendance was dismal. Davening attendance was non-existent. Father tried everything. Now, you may know, many Jews, before they go to sleep at night, they leave by their bed, and for sure, negelwasser. A bowl, the water. They wake up in the morning, wash. So the father, before he would go to sleep at night, he always was meticulous that he would leave, set out a bowl for himself, and go to his child's room, and put out a bowl for his son. And this is going on for weeks, and he sees the bowl, the water's not being in months. And one morning, he sees his son, he's got his tzitzis back on. And a few weeks later, he sees he's got the tefillin on. And the pendulum is now swung the other way. Father is besides himself. He doesn't want to ask. You know, he's trending, kid's trending your direction. That's just fine. So the kid, Baruch Hashem, comes back full circle and he says, Dad, he says, aren't you curious, like, what happened over here? He says, yeah, of course. He says, it's because of you. because he never gave up on me. And every morning that Negovasa was there. And even when you said, you know what? Forget it with this one. The growth's not there. The nachas is not there. The enthusiasm's not there. You never gave up hope. We say every morning, Moida ani lefanecha. Hashem, I thank you. You gave me another chance to swing the bat. Hashem believes in us. Hashem believes in his Klal Yisrael. And he believes in every single one of us to become good, great Jews. We can grow. Otherwise, he wouldn't be investing in us. He wouldn't give us another morning. We're only going to grow if we realize where we are and how we can get beyond it. Leave everyone with a bracha. Chofetz Chaim used to give people a bracha. You should be like the sun. You ever heard this? Be like the sun. You should bring light to people. You should bring warmth to people. And you should make others grow. So that's my bracha to all of us. We should be like the sun. And you should make ourselves grow. Even when it's not always so simple. You'll be amazed what you can find. So Mi'etz Hashem, we can be like the sun. Bring light to a dark world. We'll be together, Rabbi Zaitchik, and the whole Gansa Jet Mishpacha Lashana Habab Yerushalayim. Questions, comments, rebuttal?
This is, I don't have to tell you what a privilege it is to ask a question of such a beautiful neshama. This is an opportunity, folks. This is not a normal question and answer period. The choice is yours.
Yes?
When you were talking about the ego, were you saying to make the ego bitter, you know, shrink it down?
Right.
Is that what you mean?
Well, the idea is that if I shrink it down so much, I won't have what to invest in somebody else. I mean, I need to be me. I need to have an I. But that I has to be expansive enough that I'll be able to invest, not domineering, correct? But if a person is, well, has no sense of healthy sense of self-esteem and self-confidence, and I'm here and I can make a difference, and a person needs to have that healthy sense of esteem, right? The Bali Musa used to say, they used to accuse her of Riruchim Vavavitz. He said, they used to say, you're churning out Bali Gaiva. He says, you're churning out conceited people. He used to say, my job is to take people out of depression. But then you come after, he said, you don't want a bunch of people going around thinking that they don't have self-worth and self-value. Orchis Nikim says, you want to know who to choose as a friend? A person who knows their own worth. So a person has to realize I'm an Hashama. I'm a part of the Am Yisrael. I have real koichos, real abilities that nobody else has. And if a person realizes it, then they say, okay, you know what? This I have in order to give to somebody else. The person with the ego, which is too constricting, will not see beyond their own, we say, four amos, four on their own immediate radar screen.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Your speech tonight on growth and pushing oneself, it's a familiar theme that we hear in Judaism of always growing and all. And there's no doubt that we all, at different periods of life, are growing at different periods. And then we plateau at a certain point, and to some extent, for me personally, plateauing, there's value to that too, in order to take stock and to look back on to your growth and maybe to continue again. But is there any Jewish thought or actually embracing the plateauing period in one's life? Because it's always just grow.
Right.
Don't ever stop.
Right.
Is there anything to be said?
Right.
Sometimes it's okay.
Right.
To
right.
plateau and appreciate
right.
what you have grown.
Correct. The remind me of the guy who comes to Or Sameach. You know, the Or Sameach, so guys can be quite raw sometimes. And you know, they show up and they have a black coat and a white shirt and they're growing. And he says, Rebbe, last week I didn't even know what Lashon Hara was, and now I'm speaking it fluently. So yes, the person who's on the rocketing to the moon, I have certain reservations about whether that's real, true, sustained growth. I may have mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned it here, But there's one of my favorite stories of that I've heard is the following of Shimshon Pinkus. And he saw, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, he saw a gentleman, I'll cut to the chase because some of you have heard it, he saw a gentleman who, after he was married, took on to learn all of Shas, all of the Gemara. And he started out with such a tremendous bren and enthusiasm, it really ultimately tapered off. And so he asked, like, why did this guy not fulfill his dreams and ambitions, which were sincere, and he got off to such a good start. And everyone says, well, you know, he set his sights too high. And he says, no. He said he didn't show up on the second day with a good scotch and a good rugelach to celebrate the fact that he put in one good solid day of growth and that he has that ambition to someday get there. So I think that the answer is that, like, they set up base camp. I know someone who climbed Mount Kilimanjaro or something. Kind of a funny story. Climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, and like he like sprained his ankle, like getting out of the shower, like the next day. But anyway, but besides the point. The point is that when people climb high heights, you often not only have to plateau, sometimes you have to go back down to be right with oxygen levels. And I don't know. I'm not a climber so much, but there is such a concept that sustained growth and being able to take a look back, where have I come from? Where have I come from? That's very, very important, because otherwise a person is very hard to sustain growth. If I feel like, I say every now and then, take a look back at how many, you know, you always look at the end of the Masechta. How many more daf do I have to go? You always have to do that. Look how far you came. Look how far you came. Very important. So I think that there's a concept called, in halacha, the bittul is the kiyum. Sometimes when you take a break, it enables you to come back stronger. Right? Pitchers in the playoffs, they take time off. For the purpose of what? That they'll be able to continue their growth. Yes, Jason. Yes, acceptable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Yes, Jason.
I remember back in 2001 when I was in Young Israel, Huntington, and we were around like a basketball court. And I remember that time, it was on Shabbos, and I like threw a basket or two, and you said, it's not like in the spirit of Shabbos, right?
Mm-hmm. I threw stones then or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That was a joke.
Just a few. And I remember about a year or two ago, my son in the neighborhood on Shabbos, they were having like kind of like a organized football game. And I knew it was wrong. I just couldn't really place my finger on it. And it happened week after week after week. And suddenly I realized these kids are not... they're not learning anything after shul. They just kind of want to play football, and it took me a while, but I started to realize why it's not in the spirit of Shabbos, but it took me a long, long time, and pretty soon I was able to get my son to stop it, and he learned a little bit. But it was interesting. You told me that back in 2001. It took me to 2015. It took me 14 years to kind of like realize why.
Mm-hmm.
So. Interesting you talk about growth, but growth can be very, very slow. And I think it's healthier if growth is slow. It comes with learning the mission of Brua. But also I think life experience kind of like teaches you, you know, certain truths too,
mm-hmm.
as well. You know?
My grandfather, blessed memory, used to say there are teachable moments.
Yeah.
Teachable moments. Not every, you know, we're very busy in getting other people to grow. See, that's much easier, point at other people's flaws than to point at our own. But if a person has that mindset that, I'll tell you an interesting story. I don't spend as much time as I'd like in Kiruv and outreach because there's other needs that need to be taken care of in terms of supporting a family, etc. So I was going to a conference and I spoke with people who are full-time involved in outreach. And I spoke to my Rav. I said, I always had a little bittersweet when I'm at this conference because here are all these wonderful people doing this full throttle 24/7, and I wish I could, you know, be doing that also. So I thought he was going to say, nah, you're doing fine. Don't worry. He said, good. I said, what do you mean good? He said, if it still bothers you, then when you have an opportunity to do something about it, you'll cash in. If you still have that sense, okay, you know what, I'm not there yet, but there will come a time. If you're sincere about Hashem, gives opportunities to people who look for them. You know, I have a concept of helping people want to help themselves. Some people you do all the things, they're not putting it together, and you want to help, and it's a little bit of a rachmanis that they can't. But certain people say, really, really help me help you, right? They're really interested in growing or conquering something or dating more effectively or learning better or putting their resume. You could tell people who are interested in growing, even if it's uncomfortable. So I think that's a point well taken.
But also, it seems like the energy, the spiritual energy is contagious. And it's like even when you physically can be a little exhausted and you come and you hear Shir, very good Shir tonight, it energizes you and it gives you that extra strength.
Absolutely. The Musa, the Bali Musa, people involved in real experts in this, they felt that it was very important to work from a person's strength for several reasons. But one of them is high tide rises all boats in the harbor. You can go and you can hear a great class on the importance of davening, and you can give tzedakah with a smile the next day. When a person is in that modality, they feel that they're moving. They think about the fact that, you know what, my Shabbos is more meaningful than it was a year ago. I connect more to Eretz Yisrael than I did 5 years ago. I'm more interested in making a bracha with good intent than I was 6 months ago. Growing in Emunah is on my radar screen. It's not something, well, then ho-hum, that's the way it is, and I'll just coast like that, right? I tell the guys, I said, you live 70 years, you spend 10 years of your life in Shabbos. I have a guy in my class in Guatemala. I said, imagine telling me you can live in Guatemala for 10 years. If you live in Guatemala for 10 years, so you understand what Guatemala is all about, the language and the food and the culture, and you get into it. I'm going to spend 10 years of my life in Shabbos, so get into it. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate it.
I'd like to, on everyone's behalf, express our profound gratitude to Rabbi Vitus for his spellbinding inspiration. I want to add our collective mazel tov upon the birth of Yosef Chaim. And that birth, by the way, took place. Rabbi Vitus was talking about the significance of timing. Yosef Chaim was born two days before Rosh Hashanah. So a big mazel tov, you and your Eishes Chayos.
Amen.
Shechep a lot of nachas. Amen. And I just want to reinforce one thing that Rabbi Vitus said. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, this is very true. Rabbi Vitus said that he notices over the years, coming to Jep, that we attract individuals who are looking to take the next step forward, who want to grow. And, we've been doing this for a while here, and I want you, Rabbi Vitus, you hit the nail on the head. It's definitely 100% true. We're privileged to have a really special group of people who are looking to get closer to Hashem, and it's a beautiful thing to be part of such an operation. I would like to thank Ken and Marie for their hospitality. Even though Marie's not with us tonight, but she has a share in everything that was going on here tonight. I know she went shopping for the delicious refreshments that were awaiting you all in the dining room. And Ken, he did the grunt work over here, setting everything up after a long day's work. Awesome. Ken, you did a great job.
My pleasure.
And so everybody have a safe trip home. Mr. Sherman, the refreshments are there for you to enjoy.